Thank you for that song. Hey, if you have your Bible today, would you please open them to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to begin with verse 26. And what we're going to do is, last week I preached, have been preaching for many weeks about the kingdom of God, but last week I preached about that time between when we know that Jesus died on the cross, in other words, that moment at which we're saved. We believe Jesus is coming back, and so we believe that at some point those who are alive will be caught up in the air to be with the Lord. The question is, what about that period of time? And today, the message that God has given me is just simply entitled, The Kingdom Life. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. If you're physically able, I'm going to ask you to stand at the honor of reading of God's Word. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as we turn our attention to you, God, I pray that our hearts would be reminded, Lord, of what a tremendous privilege it is to know you, to live for you, to be able to know that the life that we're living matters because it's being lived for you. And God, I pray that today you would use this word to bring us to that place, Lord, of being able to live the kingdom life by committing to do the things that you've called us to do. And God, I pray that we would also be willing to make that sacrifice in our own hearts and our own lives. And it's in the blessed and holy name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If we're going to understand the kingdom life, the first thing that we have to understand is, what is God's intention for his creation? Now, look at verse 26. The Bible just says, God said, let us make man in our image. That word means a shadow. That word means a drawing. That word means an image. It means a likeness. And he said, according to our likeness. And then he said, let them have dominion. Now, this word dominion is very important for us to understand, because everything that God says has both that the element of that it was a reality at that moment, but God's word is eternal. So even after we live in the age of sin, we can still have what God wants us to have. And this is what's amazing. He said, let man have dominion. Now, this word means to rule, but it also means to subjugate. And so what this word means is, it means to bring someone, especially the people, a people under the control of another. Now, what is amazing is, the first thing that God gave to Adam and Eve was the authority to do his work. In other words, that was the very first thing that he said. And you got to keep in mind that they lived in a physical place. They lived in a garden. They were with God. So they lived in a physical place, but it was also a spiritual kingdom. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, if you want to just turn over there, it's just a page over. The Bible says, And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now, that word that's used for breath means spirit. So this is what I want you to realize. God created man in a physical place. It was a physical place, the Garden of Eden. But he also created him to be spiritual. He put his spirit inside of him. Now, when the Bible uses the word dominion, it's talking about the area of influence or control. Now, God said, let them have dominion. That word really, at its core essence, means to represent the king. It's a monarch's dominion beyond the sea. And what's important is, God has placed man on earth for a reason. Of course, we know sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, man physically died. If you look on the screen, this is very important, because this is what happened when man was deceived and with sin. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible said, And you he made alive, that's what we're talking about in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, who are dead in trespasses and sin. And that's the result of sin. But notice what he says about verse 2, because this is what happened when man gave dominion of the earth to the devil. It said, In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now, this is what you got to realize. God had created man. He placed him in a garden. This garden represented a perfect place, had a perfect relationship with God. As soon as sin entered the world, everything that was tainted by sin, the world is going to ultimately be destroyed. Now, as a result of sin, as a result of our sin, man's sin, the world is going to be renewed. That's in Revelation 21 when the Bible says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth that's going to come down. Everything that's been tainted by sin. Nothing sinful can be in God's presence. But what we also have to realize is that includes us. And so we have to have God's work done inside of us so that we can be a part of His kingdom. Now, I want you to listen. Think about this for a second. You're going to have to listen real close. God intended for us to be blessed people in a blessed place with a blessed purpose. And when sin entered the world, all of those blessings went away. And at the moment sin entered the world went from a place of being blessed to moving day by day toward its ultimate destruction. Because anything that's tainted by sin has got to be removed. That's why the Bible says that the kingdom of God is inside of us. I think this is the fourth Sunday in a row. You can put the verse up, Luke 17. This is probably the fourth Sunday in a row that I've used this verse in, as reference. But it's very important. When Jesus was asked, where is the kingdom of God? And when it would come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will you say, see here, see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within us. Now, this is very important. It's important to realize that Jesus had to reestablish a spiritual kingdom because that's what happened when man sinned, we died. So a spiritual kingdom had to be established. And then once a spiritual kingdom is established, then in Revelation 21, there's going to be another physical kingdom established on earth. Now, I said all that to say this. We need to realize that as people, it is a privilege to know and to serve the Lord. It is a privilege to know that God, even in a fallen, sinful state, God has a plan for man. And what we have to do is we have to figure out what are we going to do to be able to do the things that God has called us to do. The first thing we need to do is we need to be made spiritually alive. In John chapter 3, Jesus answered, talking to one of the most religious men that's ever lived. And he said to this man, he said, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, the word that's used for born again means that something in heaven has to be inside of us. In other words, something in heaven has to get inside of us. But in order for a person to be born again, that person has to, something has to die. Because we don't have two natures. And so what Jesus made very clear to this man is that something spiritual has to take place inside of someone who is dead. I've already mentioned Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. And when a person is born again, what happens is God in heaven puts his spirit, we receive his spirit inside of us, and when we receive that spirit, we become a living being. Now, I suspect that most people in here believe that. I suspect that most people in here would say, if you said anything other than that, I would be offended if you said that. And I would say, amen, praise God, and me too. But this is my question. What now? We agree that we've been born again. We agree that something in heaven has gotten inside of us, but we got to ask ourselves that question. What now? And I want to offer to you that God's purpose is laid out in the next few verses. Notice verse 27. In verse 27 it says, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female, he created them. If you'll just look at that verse, you'll see that men and women are created for the same purpose, but have a different responsibility before the Lord. Now, look in verse 28. In verse 28, the Bible just simply says, he created them in 27, and in 28, the Bible said, then God blessed them. Now, this is really good news. If you asked me today, what would I be if I surrendered my whole heart to the Lord? I'm not talking about part of it. I'm talking about if you just come today and said, I want to know what this Christianity thing is about and tell me what is going to happen if I surrender my whole entire, every part of me, everything that I have to the Lord. I can tell you in one word, the word is blessed. You see, that's what God wants us to be. God wants us to be blessed. That's why the first thing he did. Notice God didn't get them together and say, you know, y'all sit down on those rocks right there. We're going to have church. That's the most important thing in the whole wide world. You know what the most important thing is? Blessed. Blessed. I was at the jail this past Monday night. Two really crazy things happened at the jail. I'll tell you both of them real quick. One of them's crazy. The other one's not. One of them has to do with this verse. One time I pulled up in the church down here, and there was a guy down there was asleep in his truck. All the windows was fogged up. I thought he was dead. Scared me to death. I'm sitting up there at the jail Monday night, and I talked about being a pastor at Grace Baptist Church on Highway 471. He looked at me with the straightest face and said, I used to sleep there. And I said, I know, you scared me to death one morning. I thought you was dead. Anyway, that did happen Monday night. But in the same Bible study, somebody said, what does it mean to be blessed? That's what he asked me. He said, what does it mean to be blessed? You know what it means to be blessed? It means to have God's best every day. It means to have God's best no matter where you are or what you face. And what we have to realize is, in order to be blessed, we have to live in obedience to God's word. You see, when you make the decision to live in obedience to God's word, that decision of walking in obedience is going to bring blessings in your life. And every day, when you walk in obedience, does that mean you're going to have troubles? Yes. Or still have troubles? Yes. Are you going to have difficulties? Yes. Are people you love going to die? Yes. But none of those things will take your blessing. But I want you to turn in your Bibles to Malachi chapter 2, last book of the Old Testament. And I'm going to read a verse to you that's kind of the opposite of what we're talking about, but it helps me to understand that God wants us to be blessed. But we got to make the decision to walk in obedience. Now in chapter 1 is talk of Malachi, talks about these people that won't give God the very best. They want to give God a sacrifice that's lame, that's crippled. They want to give God what's left over. They want to give God what they don't have a use for. Now, I really believe if we were all honest, and notice all my fingers are pointing at me, but if we were really honest, that would really be the invitation. Because most people who attend church really think that we're doing God a favor by being here. We really think, hey, don't talk to me about whether I love the Lord. Look at all these empty seats. There's two rows right there. Don't have anybody even on them. Don't talk to me about it. But this is what God said. I'll read verse 1 and 2. He said, now, O priest, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear and you will not take to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them because you do not take it to heart. Now, folks, when we talk about being blessed and we talk about what that means, we have to realize something can start out as a blessing and wind up as a curse. Now, I can give you several examples of this. The first example I have is I can't tell you how many people that I know that when they got married, they invited all their family and all their friends, and they invited them down to the church. And they told everybody, this marriage is going to be different. Can I get a witness? Right? And then in 5 years, they're at the courthouse, and she's saying about him, and he's saying about her, they ain't even fit to have custody of these children. Right? Does that happen? Oh, yeah, it happens. And the question is, how? How does something that's intended to be a blessing, that starts out as a blessing, something they say is a blessing, wind up as being a curse? It happens. How about this? Do you know anybody that's ever said, if I could just get that job? Man, if I could just get that job. And they get the job. I remember one time saying to the Lord God Almighty, God, I'll do anything if you don't make me go to that job. Can I get a witness? Huh? Thought that job was going to be a blessing. Got it. Couldn't wait to get rid of it. Right? I mean, I was beginning to think picking up cans on the side of the road was looking good to me. Right? Started out as a blessing. Didn't wind up such. You know how many people go into ministry You know the statistics of the number of people that don't even last 5 years in the ministry? It's staggering. But when they go into the ministry, they believe, I'm going to preach these sermons and everybody's going to get saved and everybody's going to repent. Can we just all collectively say, no, that ain't what happens. Right? And they get so discouraged and they get so frustrated that they say, I'm going to just quit. Listen, any relationship can be a blessing, but that blessing can turn into something else. Because as soon as whether it's a teenager or as soon as it's an adult, as soon as it's a parent, it doesn't matter which one, as soon as somebody makes an ungodly decision and they proceed in that ungodliness, that blessing is going to turn into a curse. And I offer to you that at the beginning of every curse, if you could just go back to where this actually started, where did it start? It doesn't matter if it's a marriage, it doesn't matter if it's a job, it doesn't matter if it's a ministry, it doesn't matter if it's a relationship. Somebody made a really bad choice. Somebody said, I know I shouldn't, but I know this is not going to be a good idea, but... And what we have to realize is if we're going to have God's blessing, we have got to make a decision about God's word. And while I'm holding my Bible in my hand, I want to ask you something. How blessed do you want to be? Partially or fully? Fully. Me and Bob want to be fully blessed. Partially or fully? Fully. Now let's turn to the parts that you don't want to do, that I don't want to do, and let's talk about whether we really want to be blessed or not. Because you see, we know the answer to the question is, I want to be fully blessed. But we can look in here about what the Bible says about sharing your faith, and that ain't my gift. We can look in here about a grace-based relationship between a husband and wife, and if she'll be nice to me, I'll be nice to her. And we can just turn to page after page after page and look at thing after thing after thing. And we say we want to be blessed, and we say we want to live in obedience to God's word, but... The next thing he says is to be fruitful. And if you'll notice the word be there, it's continuously. In other words, you start out as fruitful, but every year you get more and more and more fruitful. And obviously, in a physical sense, God intended for them to be fruitful. But in a spiritual sense, that word means to flourish. It means to sustain continuous, steady, strong growth. And that is amazing to me. That God takes us where we are. He works in us so that he can work through us and he begins to do something. In John chapter 15 verses 5 and 6, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Did you notice Jesus said, whoever abides in me bears much fruit. And so each one of us that say, and I'm definitely pointing at myself, but each one of us that say that we have a relationship with God, as a result of that relationship, there ought to be some fruit. It ought to be eternal fruit. In Matthew 13:23, Jesus said, but whoever received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And notice he said the fruit with the heart that's right, that receives the seed on the good ground. He said it bears fruit, but it produces something. And I want to ask you, and this is an honest question, and all of us have to answer it for ourselves. But if you looked at your spiritual life, would you say your spiritual life is producing something? Would you say as a result of the relationship, the abiding in Christ, would you say as a result of your relationship, when you look at your life, you can see this and this and this and this that's been done in people's life? I still stand amazed. This happened yesterday. I still stand amazed how you can take a handful of seed, plant them in the ground, and get a deep freeze full of food. Hey, that still astounds me. Because what happens is those seeds bear and they produce something. And when the word of God is planted in our heart, when it's received into the good ground, listen, it's going to produce something. And we need to ask ourselves when we look at our lives, am I ready to stand before God and say, this is what your word produced in my heart? This is where it was planted, and this is what we got to show for it. Is that good enough? And I don't say that because I don't believe that there are people in here that would say yes. But listen, we got to ask ourselves, why am I not producing 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold? And then in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus said, therefore I say to you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. I have to admit that when I saw that verse, I didn't remember reading that in my Bible. If you asked me if I ever read my Bible, I would say yes. But I did not remember reading that. And I want you to know, it's just like if you ever been walking along without shoes and stepped on a nail. That's about a piece of glass. Walking along, don't have shoes. And I mean, it sticks you good. And I mean, it'll make you get back. When I read those words, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And listen, we need to realize that when he's talking about flourishing, when he's talking about multiplying, when he's talking about fruit, he's talking about the kingdom of God being expanded around the world. And all of us individually have to realize that we have to be committed to doing kingdom work. But we also have to realize that it means being a witness. And I want to encourage you on the way out. There's plenty of tracts back there. A lot of people take them. I want to encourage you to take one of those tracts. When I get one of those, and I like to use them myself, but when I get one, I consider that tract to be a seed. And when I read that or share that with somebody or give it to somebody, my goal is that be a seed. But I want to say something about what we're going to be doing starting next week about the kingdom. I believe that the most important people in this room that need to hear this, what the Lord's word is about this being fruitful, I believe it starts at home. Can I get a witness? And I believe it starts with give me a D, give me an A, and give me a D. Right? And are the spiritual leader in the home. But listen, I believe to the bottom of my heart that until dads realize that the number one job that we have is the spiritual multiplication of our own children, we'll never accomplish God's word. Now listen, y'all know I like to travel, mission trips, enjoy them tremendously. And I don't care where I go or what I do, if I don't convey the truth of Scripture to my children, you will never convince me that my life has been a success. That is the number one job. Notice I said convey the truth. I didn't say that they would whatever, because they will answer for their life, but I will answer for mine. Are we taking this command seriously? Well, the next thing there is the word multiply. Look at it, and the Lord told them to multiply. And this word means to become abundant. And I know that if I don't speed up, we'll be here till 4 o'clock this afternoon, which bothered me, but some of y'all probably wouldn't be as interested in that as I would. But I want to just ask you something about yourself. Are you satisfied living your life for yourself? I mean, can you genuinely and honestly say that you don't have a desire to fully and totally and completely live the abundant life that Jesus promised in John chapter 10. But I want to offer to you and to myself, because I believe this as much as I believe I'm standing here at this pulpit, we will never live an abundant life until we fully commit to God's word. Amen? Ah, come on. Amen? And listen, if you don't know in your heart why God placed you on this earth, if you don't know in your heart why God saved you, if you don't know in your heart what you're supposed to be doing, you are missing out on one of the greatest adventures that you'll ever go on. To know that God has called me and God's purpose for me and God has gifted me in this way and this is what God wants me to do and I'm going to do it to my absolute last breath. Absolutely. And notice the next thing he said is he told them to fill the earth. And this word is interesting. I got kind of hung up on the fact that he said the earth. So he says to two people, you know, it's a pretty big world out there. I mean, I don't know if y'all noticed that or not. It's a pretty big world out there. And he says to two people, I want you to fill the earth. And what he's talking about with the word fill, that word means to complete. That word means to fulfill, to finish, to satisfy. And I offer to you that what we're commanded to fill the world with is God's glory. Do you know there are people all over this world that do not know who Jesus is? And we, those of us that know, have a responsibility. And we have a responsibility to be willing to work together as a church to do whatever it takes to get the word of the Lord to whoever does not know. You see, it's very easy for me to get caught up in my own little world and forget about everybody else. And many a time I've been asked through the years, well, what about the person that lives in the jungle and they never heard about Jesus? And what about? You know, that is a legitimate question. But the much better question is, if I know there's somebody in the jungle that don't know Jesus, what am I doing here? That's the much better question. The much better question is, how can I have peace? How can I know and not be willing to go? John chapter 20, verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you, and as the Father sent me, I also send you. Man, let me tell you something. Have you ever just like, maybe when you was a kid and they were playing some sport and you didn't want to be the last one picked, man, you just wanted to be a part of the team, and you know, you remember that? Could you imagine being chosen by God? 7 billion people on earth. And God said, he has chosen us. He's chosen me. He's chosen you. And he wants us to go. How can we not go? How can we not go? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing to know that here we are, just us little group of people at Grace Baptist Church on this Sunday morning, and here we are sent by God to the entire world. Man, I don't know what that does for you. It makes me get really excited. And we have to make the decision that we're not going to stop until every person knows. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is writing to Timothy. He said, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. But then he said, he sums it up with 3 words. He said, fulfill your ministry. And you know what we need to do today? We need to make the most important thing in our life the ministry that God has given us. And even though I haven't been in the ministry my entire adult life, almost my entire adult life, I've been at least a Sunday school teacher. And I remember one time, and I know I've told this before, but this is, at least if you think I'm crazy, at least you know how to really think about me. But I remember one time a lady didn't ask me, what do I do, in other words, to teach Sunday school? She asked me, she said, why do you do that? But she wasn't talking about Sunday school. She was asked me why I owned a landscaping business. She said, why do you do that? And you know what I told her? She looked at me like I was crazy. But I told her the truth. I told her, I said, well, the reason I have that business is so I can afford to teach Sunday school. And I meant it. I meant it from the bottom of my heart. Listen, what if I planted every shrub in Rankin County and died and went to hell? What if the people that I planted the bushes in their yard and they raved about it some, most, what if they died and went to hell? Could you imagine on Judgment Day stand before somebody and say, don't I know you? Didn't you plant some bushes in my yard? Did you know this was going to happen? Did you know that we're going to stand? Did you know that this was going to, and you're going to, I'll have to look at them and say, I did know this was going to happen. And you know what they're going to say? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you warn me? And listen, our job fill the earth. And we can't stop until everybody knows. And we got to commit. And each one of us has got to do our part. And then the last one, this one was one that really amazed me. But he told them to subdue the earth. And that word means to bring into subjection. It means to enslave. But the word also means to overcome. And what is amazing is, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. You know that authority that Adam gave to the devil when he didn't stand up and be the man of God? That authority, Jesus took it back on the cross. And Jesus gave it back to us again. And just like God gave it to Adam, Jesus has given it back to us. And he said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given. And he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, he said, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is greater, he is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And then in Matthew 16, 18, Jesus speaking about the church, and he said, and I also say to you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now this is what Jesus said about overcoming. Jesus said that the church under his lordship, his authority, and his leadership will march up to the gates of hell, kick the door in, and go in and take whatever we want. Man, I want to be a part of a church like that. But that's what Jesus said would happen. But let's be honest, how many of us have ever been of a part of a church that could do that? I say it's because we've settled. I love the commercial. Have y'all seen the one? I'm not sure which company it is. I think it's about satellite TV. Going to get a witness? And all of this in this nice neighborhood, and there's these people, and they got their old clothes, prairie clothes on, and he's plowing a mule in his front yard, and his son keeps saying, why can't we have whatever it is? And the man looks at him and says, son, we're settlers. We're settlers, son. I believe what's wrong with the church. We're settlers. We're settlers. We've decided, hey, my name's written in the Lamb Book of Life. That's good enough. We're settlers. Jesus said, the gates of hell, the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Listen, the word prevail is a military term, but it's a going forward. It's not retreat. It's not there on one hill and we're on the other and we're shooting mortars at one another. It's a forward-moving army. And what we have to realize is when we talk about the kingdom of God, we have to realize that it means that we have to make a commitment to do kingdom work. Right? We have to make that commitment. Now, all of our Sunday school teachers have been invited to meetings. We've discussed this twice in meetings, and so I'm assuming that every one of them know what we're talking about here. But folks, our Sunday school classes have got to get organized. Can I get a witness? Two witnesses. Come on. Our Sunday school classes have got to get organized. What do you think, Dawn? You don't go, no, men don't know. Our Sunday school classes got to get organized for kingdom work. Amen. Amen. We do. Listen, there are people in your life that can be reached with the gospel that nobody else can reach. And if you want them, you don't care about their soul, you don't believe what's going to happen to them, or if you've convinced yourself that it's not your problem, you are sadly mistaken. Listen, when we get saved, we become a part of the kingdom of God. And our Sunday school classes have got to get organized to do the work. Now, I'm going to give you a quick one about Sunday school. I told you I've been a lifelong Sunday school teacher, or at least adult lifelong Sunday school teacher. I've seen Sunday school done really well, and I've seen Sunday school done really poorly. And I'm talking about my own class, by the way. But it astounds me and amazes me when Sunday school classes are organized, how exciting, how engaging, how that the people enjoy it so much. But when the teacher does everything, what difference does it make if I go or not? And this organizes a class that allows every person, beginning in youth Sunday school, all the way through adult, to be involved in doing kingdom work. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you want to be involved in kingdom work?
Yes.
Me and Bob, man, Bob, me and you are on a roll today. Do you want to be involved in kingdom work?
Yes.
What do you think, Don? Me and Don, you want to be involved in kingdom work?
Yes.
Yes. Man, we got to be. We got to make the decision, I'm going to live for Jesus. We got to make the decision. Living for Jesus is more important than anything else. Y'all are making me work awfully hard today. Living for Jesus is the most important thing.
Amen.
It is. And me doing what I want to do and asking Jesus to bless it is not living for Jesus. Living for Jesus is when we surrender ourselves to His work. And listen, we need to be engaged. We need to be involved. One of the things that we're trying to put together is we're going to begin that once a quarter where all of our Sunday school classes individually, I mean on the same day, we're going to have evangelism day in Sunday school. And like, for example, the first one might, and we're still in the beginning stages of it, but the first one might be that we would all know that on a certain Sunday, the lesson is going to be the track Steps to Peace with God. And our goal is to bring as many lost people that day as possible. And the Sunday school teacher is going to use as the lesson that track. And we're going to get to the end and have a gospel invitation right there in Sunday school. And it's going to give you an opportunity to bring your friends who are not saved and let them be exposed to the gospel. Because if we don't love them enough to tell them the truth, how can we even tell them that we love Jesus? If we're not committed to God's work, we're not committed to letting people know the truth. And that's what it means to be a part of the kingdom. That's what it means to be blessed. That's what it means to be fruitful. That's what it means to multiply. That's what it means to fill. And that's what it means to subdue. We find our place of service in God's work, in His kingdom. And we make that job, whatever God has assigned to us through the way that He has gifted us, we make that the most important thing in our life. Now, I want to move, before I move to the next thing. You may be sitting there and you may be saying, first, you may be saying, I'm not going to do that, and I totally respect that. But you also may be sitting there and one person might be thinking, wow, what would happen if we really, as a group, did it? I'm going to tell you, I have no earthly idea. But I can tell you what's going to happen if we don't. Can anybody say 119 in Sunday school? Can we all say that together on three? 119, one, two, three, 119. That's what's going to happen. We got 10 years of proof. We don't have to wonder what's going to happen if we don't do it. And all of us has to ask ourselves, while there's nothing wrong with 119, it's better than 118. But we have to ask ourselves, is that the best we can do? And the answer is no. No, it's not. And so I'm asking you to engage in kingdom work. All right, here's the last thing. This comes out of this book called Membership Matters. And this is something that we've been doing. Me and Ryan have been doing with people that come. The next class is next Sunday, by the way. And if you haven't attended, I would ask you to please do that. And you say, I've been a member of this church longer than you have, and I know that, and I know that's true, but I still want you to come. That's the good thing about me. I can ignore it real well. In this booklet, there's key passages. Now, if we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, and we're going to do what God wants us to do, then we got to bring ourselves to the position, to the place where we say, all right, God, we're going to do it your way, right? Now, notice we didn't say we're going to do it my way, because there might be something on here I don't particularly like or agree with, but that has nothing to do with anything, right? And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that everybody that is a member of the church and everybody that wants to join the church knows what the Bible says about the purpose of the church. Because if you know what the Bible says, I don't think this will happen, but you might say, I really don't want to be a part of that church that does those things. I could tell you a real funny story about what happened when we were talking about these positions and places in our Sunday school class. Because not everybody wants to do it. And some people will tell you. So, the purpose of the church. The first purpose of the church is, the purpose of the church is to make disciples who will go and disciple others. That's Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And what we have to realize is, Jesus didn't say, you know, Jeff, if you feel like it, or if you're in a good mood, or if you think that's your gift, then, you know, consider this. Jesus had the audacity to say, go. And so if Jesus had the audacity to say, go, then what do we need to do? We need to go. We need to be willing to take that step of faith and say, God, I'm not going to tell you how to run your business. I'm not going to tell you how to run your kingdom. God, I'm going to do what you said. The second thing is, the purpose of the church is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Man, that's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. But he talks about the pastors, teachers, and he says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, whose responsibility is it to do the work of the ministry? The saints, right? Are there any saints in here? I'm not talking about them football saints. I'm talking about saints of God saints. Are there any saints in here?
Yes.
Any saints in here?
Yes.
Well, listen, we need to get to work. We got a job to do. We need to get busy, right? Purpose of the church, equip the saints for the work of the ministry. If I don't want to do the work, I'm either not a saint or don't understand Scripture, right? We got work to do, exciting work. The third thing, the purpose of the church is to encourage believers to serve the Lord through their spiritual gifts. Right? We'll help you with that. You need to know, if God saved you, what has He gifted you to do? Find out how God has gifted you, and then you'll know how you're supposed to serve. The fourth one is, the purpose of the church is to send the saints into the world to serve the Lord. That verse, John 20:21. Jesus said, Father sent me, I also send you. I will tell you, as a personal note, when I pray for you, I pray God will send you. My prayer is that God would make us a sending church. We need to go where the people are, because they're obviously not going to come here. And so we have to go where they are. And then based on Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 47, the purpose of the church is discipleship, fellowship, prayer, ministry, worship, and evangelism. And so we got to ask ourselves, and that's based on Acts chapter 2, I think I said, 40 through 47. But you know, we got to ask ourselves a question. Are we going to do what the Bible says?
Yes.
Are we going to do what we want to do and ask God to bless it? Right? We're not going to be able to do kingdom work until Jesus knows. Right? And so we got to make the commitment that we're going to do what the Lord said, and we're going to trust Him. Because I'll guarantee you, if you look back over these things, there's some of them that make me kind of go, ooh. But we got to decide. Jesus or us? Well, I think most of us want to go with Jesus. And the way it starts is when you find your place of service in your Sunday school class. Now, you may think, I don't have a Sunday school class. Oh, but that can change next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Right? And we need you in Sunday school to be a part of the kingdom work. Right? Okay. Now, I just want to tell y'all that, like, I sense that I'm more excited about this than y'all are, but that's okay. I can be excited enough for everybody. All right? And so I'll just be excited for everybody. But when we go into the invitation today, the invitation is very simple. Who is our God? Who is our God? Right? Who's our God? Somebody back there knows. Who is our God? Right? I offer to you, far too many people serve themselves. Right?
Amen.
We got to move past me to Him. Remember, take up your cross daily and follow me. Hey, when we go into this invitation, you got to do what God has laid on your heart. Like, I can't tell you what to do because only God can speak to our hearts. But this is what I want to encourage you to do. I want to plead with you from the bottom of my heart. If you are a Christian, make an unwavering commitment to God that you're going to serve Him. Just make an unwavering commitment. God, I'm going to serve you. And whatever that means and wherever I have to go, so be it. Right? So be it. But if you're not willing to make that commitment, I guarantee you there's only one reason, and it's a three-letter word. Right? Sin. See, we can't be living bogged down in sin and serve the Lord. Those two things don't work. And so we have to make a decision. Do I want to choose my sin? Do I want to choose my Savior? And I want to encourage you today, please get your heart right before the Lord. Please come to that place that you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're going to trust God over your sin. You're going to trust your Savior over your shortcoming. And you're going to serve Him to absolutely no end. Listen, I can give you story after story after story. I'll close with this one. Now, I have enjoyed tremendously going up to the jail. I have enjoyed it way more than I ever thought I would. I actually had no intentions of going to the jail. I went with somebody else that was going to the jail, and I just went with her because she asked me to. And I wound up on the list myself. And listen, the only person I would have denied a blessing to is myself. And sometimes in my life, when I look back over it, I have been way too quick to tell God no. I've been way too quick to tell God what I thought or what I believed or what I hoped or what I was going to do. And sometimes the greatest blessing is on the other side of no. And that's the third part of the invitation. You know, I told you blessings equal obedience. Where's your no? Where do you draw the line and say, that's it? I'm not doing that. Because when you put that line down, you just marked off your love for Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Father God, as we bow before you today, God, I thank you, Lord, that you offer to us, Lord, the opportunity to be a part of your kingdom. God, you give us the right and the responsibility to serve you. And God, you guaranteed us that if we'll serve you by faith, Lord, we will overcome. God, you've promised us that if we'll go, Lord, you'll honor it. And so, Lord, how could we stay here? So, God, I pray that as you lead in this invitation, I pray that all of us will find ourselves somewhere in one of those three places. But, God, at the end of that, I pray that our heart will be right and we'll be determined that we're going to live for you. And it's in the blessed and holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen.